So let's call to order the regular meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, April 27th, 2017. First item is to approve our agenda for this evening. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner.
Second that motion, Mr. Chair.
Motion by Commissioner Von Trapp and seconded by Commissioner Ryan. All those, any changes to our agenda? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved unanimous. Next item is the approval of minutes for April 13th, 2017. Is there a motion?
I move they be accepted as presented.
And a second?
Second.
The motion has been moved and seconded. Commissioner Ryan and Ms. Miller. Any comments or changes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. It's unanimous. Next item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Is there any member of the public that wishes to comment on something that's not on tonight's agenda? This is your opportunity to give us 3 minutes on anything you'd like us to hear about.
Sure. I'm Michael Thomas, 1231 La Forest Drive, Southeast. Not entirely clear what's on the agenda for this, but I wanted to express concerns about the amount of development going near the Ofsted neighborhood. That area abuts my home and I abut the park. We've had a few substantially higher density developments go in, obviously Cedar Falls, Cedar Falls South, and two of them that are actually on the agenda or a potential docket. I reside near that park. It's a pretty park, pretty low usage. I'm a little concerned by stuff I've seen in past approvals where there's been no parks for the properties that have gone in. And I know that under a certain amount that no parks are required and the developer can pay a fee. But I'm concerned that creates loading on Ofsted, and it's a burden for the school and anyone that lives near there. As a result, like, you know, more trash on properties, people on, you know, the density is increasing. So I have some concerns around that. And I don't think it's also fair that the school have to pick up the load for maintaining the park. So one thing for us to consider in the future is more support for Ofsted or buffering. A couple ideas there I think would be fair to consider. I mean, I happen to live in a neighborhood that adjoins it, and there's a lot of buffering between our neighborhood and that one, but not for mine. So, but anyway, I would hope that we would consider a little bit more around, you know, care of that Ofsted's park. It may not always be a park. So without any provision for city parks in that area or smaller parks, I'm a little concerned. And also, I've seen some items like, hey, Cedar Falls, the new development that was going next to Cedar Falls South, well, hey, they can use the parks in Cedar Falls. Well, again, or they can just use the parks in Ofsted. Well, that may not be a park forever. So I hope that we consider, you know, more parks in that area. And if you are going to, you know, ask that Ofsted take a load, that some improvements need to be made to Ofsted really for buffering around the area would be called for and more trash control. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Okay, seeing none. Next item on our agenda is docket request introduction. And I'll ask Ms. Burrell to give us an introduction and just to outline how the Planning Commission has done it in the past. And also to be clear for the public, the Planning Commission basically decides whether or not they're going to hear a docket request. And if there's any applicants in tonight's meeting, we'll invite you to present to us if you'd like. And if we do accept to hear that docket request, we will then hold a separate meeting and a public hearing for that individual request where you'll all be invited back and you can speak at that time to each individual one. With that, Ms. Burrell.
Sure. So a docket, Mr. Chair gave a really good summary of the process, and what a docket is a suggested change to our comprehensive plan or our zoning. And so annually we accept those dockets. And this year we have four that are outside initiated. So somebody from outside the city submitted, anybody is able to do that. And then we also have some council directed dockets as well to consider. So the Planning Commission is charged to give a recommendation to the City Council and hold a public hearing and decide if they want to take these up, if they want to maybe take some up next year, if they want to take them all up, and deliberate on that. So did you want me to go down through them and summarize? Okay. So Okay. So, and there are copies of the map which show, on the back table, which show the ones that are site-specific. If it's related to a zone overall, it wouldn't be necessarily easy to show on a map. And then inside the packets is a table which outlines the request. So the first docket request is to change the zoning of 13 parcels totaling 10 acres from low density residential to high density residential between East North Bend Way and Southeast Cedar Falls Way. And that is right near our roundabout, and that's labeled on the map docket request number one. So a low density residential to a higher density residential. The second one is actually the second and third one is the same request, and it is just south of Ofsted Elementary. You can see docket number two, docket number three. The request there is to change those parcels from CLDR, which is constrained low density residential. That's a 2 unit per acre that we adopted in December of 15. Back to LDR, low density residential, and that's 4 units, which was the previous zoning. Just to note, those properties are in our urban growth area. They're not in our city yet, so they'd have to be annexed before development could happen in the city. And then the last outside initiated docket is to amend the EP1 zone, the light gray zone throughout the city, to allow car washes as a permitted use. The applicant that submitted, I believe, is here tonight, so he'll probably speak to it. He has a specific parcel in mind, but the request is to amend that zone to allow the property, or that use for the property. Do you want me to keep going through the council ones, or do you want to go in?
Well, I'll pick on that next few. So the next one, number five, is one that has been previously considered through the Planning Commission and Council, and it was to the LDR zone properties located on the north side of North Bend Way, just west of Thrasher Avenue. So the proposal would be to rezone that LDR to multifamily with a density cap of 10 DUs per acre. The next one is related to the neighborhood business zone, and basically the neighborhood business zone right now currently is all the blue zone on the map, and it currently allows standalone single family. So the proposal here would be, and a lot of this zone is located on North Bend Way, would be to not allow standalone single family, consider multifamily mixed use with ground floor commercial and upper floor residential on North Bend Way, and then have some considerations for stepping the height of North Bend Way back on the upper levels. Or having the building somewhat modulate.
Does that make sense to everybody, the way you would set that back? So you would have one floor, and then you would have maybe like the balcony, and then the second floor, and then kind of...
Yeah, it would, the gist is basically kind of to mimic the natural backdrop of the Howe Mountain steps. So you'd have your retail on the ground floor, and then the residential above would be stepped back slightly, which allows for balconies and porches.
So the visual is to take away the canyon look with straight walls, but mm-hmm. pull it back.
Yeah. Then the next one, number seven, is to consider our street standards for North Bend Way with bigger, larger planter strips and biochannels. Biochannels and planter strips are kind of the same thing. They just, one has a stormwater function and one just is a green space. The next one would be to amend the neighborhood business zone along 140th to R zone, the low-density residential, and you can see that on the map. Those are just the parcels. It's predominantly a built neighborhood right now of single-family with, I think there's one vacant buildable lot. But other than that, this area is pretty single-family in nature. Number nine is the EP1 zone west of downtown. No residential. So right now, residential is very limitedly allowed in that zone when it's associated with a EP1 use on the ground floor and is associated with the function of that use. So there is consideration of not having that kind of allowance. And then the last one, number 10, is neighborhood business zone properties located in the what we call the USOD. This is called the Urban Separator Overlay District. And it's basically the blue zoned area of town between Bulch Avenue and 202 down by Tollgate Farm, Meadowbrook Farm, Encompass, that whole area. And the proposal would be not to allow single family or multifamily in an effort to kind of keep that rural character of that urban, the separator district, which is intended to be lower intensity between the two cities. So that is the list of the dockets that are up for this year's process.
Thank you both very much.
The other thing we've brought tonight is copies from our last meeting, which we didn't have a quorum for, April 13th, and the it was request number 4 for that EP1 change, and it gives a little more detail, so we can pass those out if that's helpful to you guys.
Sure.
Just a copy of what was passed out at the last meeting.
While that's going around, I'll ask, is Mr. Sorry if I pronounce this wrong, Rupches, or somebody of his representation here to talk about his request? Not seeing any. How about Mr. Hagelson? And if they're not here, they will get a chance to speak when we, if we hear the item. Mr. Parsons?
Right here.
Would you like to speak to your request just briefly?
I would, but I wasn't planning on talking. I'm Ken Parsons. I live on the Maloney's Grove Road, born and raised here. I hate to say I've been here 61 years, so I have seen some growth in the area. As Jamie was saying earlier, the property that I'm talking about is my mother's property on the Maloney's Grove Road, and before it was changed in December of 15, the county had recommended that it be 4 units per acre, and after that they changed it to 2 units per acre, and I think it would be to a great benefit to the community, even though there is a lot of growth going on, to be changed back. Everything west of her property, or east of her property, is zoned 4 units. There's some developments going in right now that are north, and basically everything north of it is 4 units per acre. So I think it fits better into the community that way. I'm not sure how North Bend considers it. If you have $1 million houses, make it more rural than if you have $700,000 houses or $600,000 houses. I know you're concerned about the traffic and the volume of people in the valley, but I think it does fit better into the community to be the same type of homes or the same density of homes in the area that it is. That's what.
Okay, appreciate that.
I'm not a developer, and hopefully I never will be.
Okay, and then last one is Mr. Eddings. Do you wish to speak at all?
Yeah, my name is Joe Eddings, lifelong resident. Born and raised here in Suquamish at the old Nelms Hospital, which is now gone, which is right next to the casino. I'm the owner of the Twin Star Car Wash down Suquamish, and with the growth and everything, I think it's time that I'm looking to expand that, and I think that would fit very well up here in North Bend for the services. And the one thing I want to point out with car washes is important is it's live in such an environmental sensitive area. I mean, people don't realize, but we reclaim our water, and all our discharge goes to oil wash separators, which goes out to the sewer system, which gets discharged back into the river. And right now, King County has mandated that washing your cars in your driveways now is now considered to be illegal. You're not supposed to do that because all that stuff and soap goes down our storm drains, goes right into our rivers. So I just want to point out that one little factor about that. The reason why I'm asking for an amendment to the zoning is if you talk about many times about the neighborhood business, it's really made for residential, multifamily, condos. Car washes aren't really quite single family or residential friendly. I went through that process down in Sequoia, there's a house right next door to my property, and it was a great ordeal. It's not a good fit. The business is 24 hours, it has lights, it does create some noise, but the traffic's not a big deal because it's sporadic, it's all throughout the whole day. It's not like a huge problem with that factor. It's just more of it's a busy area. It's like a gas station. You know, you don't see people building gas stations in neighborhoods. People have got houses or apartments. Like, for example, the city of Issaquah has car washes, and they call it intense commercial zoning, which means absolutely no residential can be allowed in that type of zoning. So that's why I'm here, just to say it's a better fit for that type of zoning than the neighborhood business. It could probably work, but it's not a really good fit. So I think it makes more sense. I do want a piece of property there in North Midway. That is zoned, and that's my intention, so hopefully work that out, get another car wash going, help benefit the community, and get back to them. So,
thank you. Appreciate that.
Everybody needs a clean car, Joe.
Yeah.
Not when it's pouring down rain for 112 days. Let me tell you, maybe I won't be building one now. I think I'm going to go bankrupt.
So, again, to the Planning Commission, our goal tonight is to decide whether or not we're going to hear each case and say yes or no to that. Before we get into that, just a little bit of parliamentary procedure. In the past, whether I as a chair or the former chair asked kind of the fairness of fairness questions at the beginning of the meeting, I have had concerns about what a quasi-judicial hearing was versus just appearance of fairness qualifications. So I contacted our city administrator, who is also an attorney, and she gave me some guidance that I'd like to just give to our commission before we go forward. Okay? So direct, indirect financial interests are conflicts of interest and prohibit a planning commissioner from participating in a vote. Okay? So that's when you have a financial interest in something. And that's under Washington State law, municipal officers are prohibited from participating in actions in which they have a financial interest. The RCW 4223 has been interpreted by the courts to cover all actions by municipal officers, including voting on matters in which an officer can receive either a direct and indirect financial benefit. So that would be one reason in which it would make sense under appearance. Remote interests that might require disclosure can limit your participation. A certain remote interest which a planning commissioner may have and still participate under certain conditions include the following: a non-salaried officer of a nonprofit corporation, the interests of an employee or agent of the applicant where the compensation of such employee or agent consists entirely of fixed wages or salaries. For example, a council member may be employed by a contractor with whom the city does business for more than the amounts allowed under RCW 4223.030 if they apply, but not if any part of his or her compensation includes a commission or a year-end bonus. Three, a landlord or tenant of an applicant, a commissioner who rents an apartment from an applicant, or four, a holder of less than 1% of the shares of a corporation or cooperative, which is the applicant. So if you have a remote interest, you can disclose that. We note it in the minutes. If we can still move forward with our business without that vote, in other words, if we need a quorum, then that would be valid. However, if we do need that vote and no planning commissioner objects, then we could still go forward. That makes sense. So there's a little more in the information, and I'm happy to have copies made for each of you if you want, and that way it's clear. But does anybody have any questions? Okay. With that, can we move forward and talk about item number one, in which if the Planning Commission wants to hear this or not?
There's not going to be a single docket request that I'm going to say we shouldn't hear.
OK.
Okay. It's like saying the guy would do the effort to submit the paperwork, and we're not going to take the time with him. So that's my answer for you.
Okay. Anybody feel differently on that, then we could do, what is it, a vote by affirmation, or that we accept all docket requests. Do I have a motion to accept all docket? Okay, motion by Commissioner Gildersleeve and a second. Second by Commissioner Miller. Any discussion?
The only factor I think about is timing sensitive. How do we fit this in with a normal schedule and still have a valid answer at the end of the day? So I'm not sure how to, maybe since you're smiling already, you can.
Yeah. With the motion and second, let's take care of that, and then we can talk to timing, getting that done. So any other discussion?
Just a clarifying question, I think you covered it at the beginning. If we choose, or if we accept all of them, for each one, we're going to have a public hearing, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So, motion by Commissioner Gildersleeve and a second by Commissioner Miller. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is unanimous. So, we will hear all those docket requests.
So, you
want to
talk about timing?
Yes.
Okay.
So timing.
This is an annual process we do every year. We normally try to do it a little bit earlier this year. We did hold it back a month or two to allow our city council time to do a pretty involved retreat. So we, what we passed out to you is kind of a tentative schedule. Tonight on April 27th, you're getting the intro, the dockets. So what we foresee is tonight, some consideration. And then again on May 11th, the way we have to notice public hearings is we can't have the public hearing on these dockets until May 25th. So you definitely are going to have three meetings on this topic. That doesn't mean that you can't have some other topics come forward during those meetings. And then we just built in one more day on June 8th for you to, once you have the public comment officially, you can deliberate on it that evening, and then you can come back, continue deliberations on the 8th, and have a recommendation on the 10 dockets. So we are planning to do one public hearing that will consider all the dockets.
Okay.
And then kind of go through, if you recall how we did it last year, we had basically each one kind of had its own little short staff report, but ultimately voted on each independently.
Okay. And other work that we have, the one item I remember we last had a public hearing about was our cottage regulations. Where are we with those?
Yeah, the cottage regulations we think are going to come back to you on June 8th. Okay. So that's kind of the tentative plan right now. We have some wireless communication ordinance that you guys have considered, and we're planning to bring that back on May 25th. We did want to kind of reserve May 11th for you to really dig into the dockets and be able to make a lot of progress there prior to the public hearing. So when you go into that hearing and you hear from your citizens, you can be pretty well informed of each topic and had time to do some research or go to the site or what have you. So the 11th, we are planning to kind of reserve that for the docket topic.
Any other questions? Mayor Hearing, would you like to say anything?
I'm just here to observe. So thank you.
All right. Anything for?
Oh, I was just going to say, I guess at this point, like Jenna said, if you do want to have some discussion, we obviously don't have time to discuss every single one. Or if you have questions to us about these dockets, we can help answer. At the next meeting or here now, we can do that.
I don't know. I didn't have any specific questions on individual cases.
Some of these dockets seem to be coordinated between the various owners of the properties, like docket 1 and docket 5, if they're accepted, they will complement each other in terms of what happens on both sides of the street. That seems like more than a coincidence, but I think it's good to know if they're being handed in together in some way that suggests there's some cooperation going on between the owners, and if that makes a difference.
Well,
no.
Is it possible for one person to submit the request on other people's properties?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not necessarily that everyone has agreed, just somebody who submitted the docket request has this plan.
Right. The two you're talking about did not, you know, didn't have any connection.
It doesn't surprise you
that
we said,
know.
Does it?
No.
But, you know, you do, when you're reviewing these, you know, you not only review them independently, but how they affect the full zoning map, so.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I'll come back to the same point I made earlier. I'm thinking of how do we, if we've all agreed to review them, then, okay, the next question is, okay, when? Because we're not going to get them all in the same meeting. Should we just do it as simply as when they were in the order they were submitted? Not really cover the bigger picture, the thought I have right now, based on Mr. Dick's question, is, hey, what if the person's request is only affecting their own property? That seems to be something we should address a little more promptly than something that's a little more elaborate. I'm just trying to figure out a way to get these answered more quickly than let it sit out there for a year by the time we get an answer.
So we're planning to have an answer from you guys by June 8th. June 8th. So for tonight, what we thought we could do is we could go through each one and have a short discussion. If you guys have questions for us, what we'd like is those questions to be asked so we can come back with the information. At your next meeting, what you'll get is each one is assigned a number. We have 10 dockets. We are going to go through each one kind of and review them independently. The one that was on your Planning Commission agenda last meeting, which is the docket from Joe Eddings to basically amend the permitted use chart to allow car washes in the EP1, we did put that first, because it's one that did not affect the zoning map, so it's a much simpler one, and it was one that we felt was a good one to take forward on that meeting. So that would be kind of one that if you wanted to proceed, we still have to have the public hearing for it on the 25th, but that particular one, you can make a recommendation on that night and move forward if it's black and white. The more zoning-related ones, you may need more time. So that's kind of how we see it unfolding. However, we do see you guys making a recommendation on all of them in one way or another on June 8th. So.
In making that recommendation, is it black and white, meaning we accept it as proposed, or is there room for modification or adjustment? Like, is there a gray area there, or is it just yes or no as it's written?
There's room for modification, assuming you get the majority.
Right.
On the recommendation.
Once it's opened up, we can open it up for further changes.
And for the citizens that are here, you know, it's great to see you guys here. As we move through the process, the night for formal comment on all these will be that May 25th evening.
So your thought was on the timing and the order of it. Do you still feel that we should take any other ones that in the order that they came in, or are you happy with kind of a simpler one that's not a big zoning change as Jenna proposed?
So if I'm not mistaken, we've all agreed that we're going to review them all.
Mm-hmm.
Once we accept it or agree to the outline, the public hearing happens. Whatever settles out from there, it's going to go to the council before anything really happens. So my concern about every one of these is a year and a half before the poor guy gets an answer, or the lady, whoever submitted it. So I'm really trying to figure out a way to, how do we get an answer back promptly so that whatever vision they had for asking in the first place, they can actually accomplish. That's what I'm really struggling with.
So, so the docket process is outlined in your code. It happens every year. It typically, you open the docket up to the citizens to be able to submit dockets free of charge. Okay, so this is the one time of the year that the city does not charge for this process. Individuals that take the opportunity to do that submit in, I believe it's November, and then Planning Commission basically takes it up in January and ideally has a recommendation by April or May. So it's typically a 3 to 4 month process every year. This year ours is just 1 month. We're skewed off 1 month. The other way to amend the code is anybody has the ability to submit an application to amend the zoning code or the development regulations at any time during the year for a flat fee of $2,500. So, and you've dealt with a few of those. So, that being said, typically the free docket process does take about 4 months, and we're kind of in that window where 1 month, unfortunately, maybe a month behind, but some of these, as you can see, are not even, there's two that aren't in the city limits, and those have to be annexed. So they all have different priorities. I think Mr. Eddings is probably the one with the more immediate, just because he has a plan. So,
right, okay. And based on schedule, so the June 8th, you guys would make your recommendation, and we would take it to council committee in our June meeting. So I think it could probably go to council the first meeting in July.
Depending on council's review of your recommendation. In committee, sorry, the committee. All right. So
let me step out of the box of the question. What if we decide, based on this number, is 11 of them, that we want to have a special meeting focused squarely on getting through them so that we can make a recommendation for each one of them after that meeting? What does that set up problems for people? I mean, I'm trying to.
Well, I think we do have that. So May 11th, the meeting is reserved for this topic. Okay? If you were ready to move on May 11th on all of them, we still wouldn't be able to do it because what we need to do is issue the notice of public hearing, which requires a 10-day and a week prior to get it to the paper. We didn't want to do that until we shared the calendar with you guys, so that puts it on May 25th, which we also knew typically you're going to need a full night on the topics. So you have that built into your schedule. May 11th will be your night.
So in theory, correct my calendar logic, in theory we could get this all the way through to the council's review sometime in July.
No, you'll have it hopefully on June 8th, you'll be passing it to the council.
But I'm saying their July meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my mistake. Yeah.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. If they go through it.
Okay. Like the ifs.
Depends on the council.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to beat my drum any longer. I'm most interested in, to me, this represents the truest sense of the citizens saying what they want. That, to me, that's what this is about. So that's why I don't want to have it drag out, play in a normal bureaucracy like everything else.
Well, that's why we will separate them by motion. So, for example, if one is moving forward faster than another, the slower one can hang back while the other moves.
Cool.
In theory, unless it's the zoning map, which we, in comp plan, which we can only amend once a year.
Has docket request 5 been here before by someone else?
The property owner. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it had some different iterations. Downtown commercial use and mixed use. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. But that one's been discussed before.
And docket request number 8, I thought in our comprehensive plan when the Planning Commission passed it, we had changed that to LDR. And so the final plan wasn't that way. And so
now it's being reconsidered. Yeah, actually, if you notice in your packet, there is kind of a that particular one. Gary, what number was it? 8.
Mm-hmm.
The information you have in your packet on number 8 here where it shows the exact parcels that would go LDR, I believe is the same information you had last time in 2015 when you. And like I said, that's predominantly a neighborhood with, we think there's about one undeveloped lot, but it's pretty residential.
I'm just trying to, as I read through these, it wasn't clear. Which of these docket requests affect only the applicant's property?
Let me
second. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Four is one, right?
So four, no. Does that affect someone?
Sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean to say that. I meant three.
Two and three.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the number one is not one of the property owners.
And there's multiple owners.
Right.
It's just two and three.
Yep.
So, so not intending to muddy the works, but that's the place I'd start.
Well, you know, I want to correct that. Jamie, do you know if Helgenson owns all four parcels? That would be...
Do I know if they owned them?
I
believe it's in his family. It's in the LLC.
All four, right. Okay.
So planning commission's wish then to take docket 3 and 4 and discuss
two,
those.
Two and three.
Two
right.
And three.
Is that right? Two and three?
Two and three.
And they basically are similar dockets. They're just parcels next to each other,
right,
but different numbers. So you could.
I'm saying give first priority to our time. However, we can, if we get 2 and 3, 5 and 6 at the same night, great, but I'd like to propose that we prioritize based on that criteria.
Any objection? Any other discussion?
I'd support Mr. Lucky on the rationale for it. I think it makes the most sense.
Okay.
And for tonight's kind of order of priority, as you know, the last planning commission, Mr. Eddings was on the agenda. So if you did want to address whether you feel the proposal to have car washes in the EP1, that would be maybe one to consider tonight, just because it was pushed back. I mean.
And so in the attachment that you handed out, the one thing I was looking for. I didn't bring my copy, so give me a second. That I had at home with my edits.
So I can kind of, while you're looking, maybe briefly remind everyone that the proposal is to amend what we call the permitted use chart. So in our municipal code, there's a chart that has the allowances for every land use and which zone it's allowed. So in four car washes right now are allowed in our neighborhood business zone, which is the blue colored zoning areas. It's also allowed in the IC and the IMU. Both the IC and IMU is out near the freeway. So it's the kind of aqua and purple,
yeah,
by the freeway. So the proposal right now is just to add a P in the chart in EP2, EP1, which is the light gray along North Fenway, and also some west of the river, of downtown. There's EP1 out there. So that is the proposal. So from a land use standpoint, you're allowing it in one more zone than it currently is allowed.
So if it were allowed, I'm just thinking of EP1, the permitted uses. Because the follow-on is, once the car wash is allowed, what if we suggested by allowing it, other things might also be available. I can't imagine that there's something that's, we have what the current code allows, car wash is not going to put us in a place where we all of a sudden should accept something else, right?
I mean, right, because it's a specific use 2.03, it stands alone in some ways, I mean, like a lot of our other uses. I should have probably pointed out or passed out earlier comments that have been received. I think some of you have received them via email, but I've printed all of them. So there was some email comments and then
related to the dockets.
Related to the dockets in general, yes.
And again, don't feel you need to read these, you know, right at the moment, because we will be coming back, and so you have lots of time to consider public comments. And you clearly can.
Well, to your thought process, are you thinking because it, let's take car wash, it's automotive, and so why not an automotive parts store?
Well, that's the only piece that's keeping me from saying right now, run with it. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that if we say yes, add this to the list, that we haven't kind of by default said, well, how about this and this and this? That's the piece I'm trying to get a picture of. To me, it fits perfectly with everything else that's in the zone. In fact, you might argue, if you just use the zone term, car wash relative to a busy warehouse is a down zone, mm-hmm. right, activity-wise.
Yeah. I'm struck by Mr. Edding's rationale. I think it's user-friendly. I think moving, I'd rather see the car zone removed from the neighborhood, put into the EP. It makes a lot more sense because of the nature of the work, the residual that it generates. We have special drainage to clarify the water. I think it reduces any impact. I think as we get more and more density in terms of apartment dwellings, car washes in a neighborhood area would be more problematic. So I think putting it into an area where noise is accepted and provided for makes a lot more sense than just adding another P to the Plymouth Park, and they've got to remove it from the neighborhood area.
Okay.
That makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other thoughts?
I guess one wonder, in applying it to the whole zone, I can see that it makes sense in some parts of the zone, specifically west of town, though. My concern would be with the wastewater. I mean, is there sewer connected there? I missed your the King County requirements. I know you're talking about those, but I don't believe there's sewer connection. But was that one of the requirements from King County that you be connected? That I know there's an oil filtration.
Well, the King County is if you read it, they do not discourage any charity car washes, like in parking lots, or wash your car in driveways in highly dense neighborhoods.
Right.
Because all those materials and people soak that they use goes down the storm drains. So that, I'm just saying that.
But
as far as the sewer, there's sewer right on the property, so I have a sewer main I'm connected to. I have to have connected sewer.
Yeah.
And I understand that out in East North Bend Way. However, if this were to apply to North Bend, West North Bend Way, which is also part of the zone, but the wetlands out there, and they're opening up the use that
right.
would have proper treatment would
right.
contaminate that.
So there's no sewer in that area yet. Any development that goes into that kind of part of town, west of the South Fork, would have to extend sewer at this
okay.
point in time. And any use, whether it's a car wash or a manufacturing facility, which has its own, you know, would have to meet the King County's stormwater manual for the development and its triggers. So.
Your question is, can you put a septic, or could you have a car wash on a septic system? Is that what you're asking?
Or, I mean, I don't know what the other alternative is. That would be a heck of a septic system.
Not happening.
My concern is really, like, this might make sense for EP1 what east of town. I don't know if it really makes sense west of town.
Okay. The same standards would apply either place in the realm of the environmental protections
mm-hmm.
Oil water separators, stormwater, sewer connections, and what have you. But that might not still, you might still have a different opinion of that it still is better off east of the South Park.
I can't help but think, whenever I say the word car wash, I think of that movie that's going on in the 60s. We don't have car washes like that anymore, do we? Okay. You ever see that movie?
I'm not sure.
It was a rock and roll classic.
There's a song that goes
Mr. Mayor saw it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think with our sewer system, situation on that side of town, you know, I don't think it would be feasible to put one there.
Okay.
Or the economics of having to, it may not be there either.
Yeah, it would have to be coupled with a separate building.
Yeah.
So there need to be some proviso that, that it's connected to sewer?
It's already in the code.
It's kind of,
yeah.
It's fair.
Yeah, you can't develop without
right.
Some, you might just review the sewer code. A few standalone single family, that's it.
That would be my only concern, which is kind of addressed.
Yeah. And I think kind of getting to Commissioner Ryan's is we staff sort of felt the same way as far as the NBEP1 swap.
Yeah.
Did you want to say perhaps premature, but I move we accept this as it's written.
We do need to have a public hearing first, don't we?
Right, so...
Subject to public hearing.
So it sounds like what we'll do...
Go ahead.
If you can kind of maybe discuss that, if everybody's on the same page, and then that night, on the 25th, we'll bring that as a standalone, so you can move that one up, if that is the one that moves quickest.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
I didn't get a second, so it's about to die.
I'll second, Mr. Lucky.
So, your motion is to promote this to the front of the line for consideration?
Accept the submittal subject to public hearing.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Lucky and a second by Commissioner Ryan. Is there a discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstention? One abstention. So, 5, the motion passes 5-1 with Commissioner Gildersleeve abstaining.
Okay, just to clarify, you will have a motion that night.
Yes.
You have to have the public hearing.
That motion is to hear this one first, subject to.
Okay.
Is there any other questions about other docket requests that you need to have for the staff? Anything for good of the order?
Are you, pardon, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair, are we talking about any of these other documents?
That's what I asked, if you had any questions. We'll,
I have no
we'll
questions.
We'll talk about each one at a different meeting when we will go over them in detail.
All right. I'd like to have the opinion of my colleagues, though, on this number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a declared interest on this document. And not that I have a conflict of interest, but I think I have a declared interest. I've known Ken Huggison for 25 years. We've worked together at Warehouse. And I know him to be a strong and good man. And I also know him that he is fair. But there's a point in my career where I needed to leave. I was thinking about leaving Warehouse or take care of my wife. At the same time, Warehouse was going through a reorganization. And it was Ken's responsibility to decide about the positions that remained, and he eliminated my position. And I found no fault with that. I want to make that clear, that any discussion about anything, Mr. Huggison treated me with fairness and no rancor. But I want to make sure that in this day and age, where little things like this gets turned upside down, I don't want that to happen. I would like to talk about this docket item in good faith, but if the committee thinks that it won't work out the way as the process moves on, I'll withdraw from discussing it. But I do want to talk about it. But I want to make sure the commission understands that I do have a deferred interest here. And if you'll let me continue, I'd like to do that. But if you think that it might become a problem, then I'll pull back.
Do you feel like you can be unbiased?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that who's ever out there who might have an interest in turning this upside down, I'm giving you my reasons why I'm declaring an
right.
interest.
Yeah.
That whatever happened to me was actually wanted and necessary, and he happened to facilitate that. So there's no issue with me and Ken about that.
Okay.
So as long as you're unbiased, does anybody on the commission object? Then I don't see any reason why.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your honesty and your candor. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, point of clarification, I guess for all of us, we're all free at any time to abstain from a vote. Mm-hmm. And that's where the rubber meets the road.
But it's the discussion part two, Mr. Lucky, that gets in the record, and I want to make sure that the record is clear on that.
I hope that an abstention would be with a good cause or a good reason.
You know, this has come up a little bit, so maybe what we could do is Jamie and I'll do, you know, let us kind of talk internally with our group, and then we'll kind of bring back some kind of thoughts on this issue, and appreciate, you know, you being open and candid, and that's great. But we'll just bring up kind of, you know, the standard protocol in this scenario at our next meeting, so we can kind of move forward with a clear perspective on expectations.
Okay. Any other thing, anything else for the dockets? Or any other questions, requests for staff? Okay. After the meeting, sorry. Not at this point in the meeting, no, sorry. Anything for good of the order?
I'd like to just discuss what's going on with that trail segment on the cottages down by 436. I'd just like to make a note that I noticed when we planted trees along the roadway, my first reaction was, why did we put them so close to the roadway? Because they're going to grow and obviously become problems with driving traffic as they go by that street. But then I began to realize that even on the Snoqualmie Parkway, they have a strip of trees. It's narrower than this table with trees lining the center street. And those limbs get pushed back by whoever's driving by them. So I think the trees will survive. The trees along the ditch line on this trail segment, they in fact work, but I would look out for them possibly being maintenance issues down the road. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. But I think it was well intended to help provide shade on both sides of the trail for the users. I can see that. And also create some sort of a break between the street and the property. So it makes good sense to put them there. I just wondered if they're going to actually survive in that position. But we'll see.
Anything else?
Just wondering if there's an update on the explosion site.
The Phoenix Plaza? Yes, it's about ready to kind of have its last final approval. And so we're hoping that happens in the next 2 weeks, maybe next week. It's down to one minor issue.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurant across the street from that, how's that moving along?
I'm going to let Jenny answer that question. It's moving along.
Yeah.
And it's moving well.
Yeah, they're building, the design has been approved a while back. The site plan was approved just about 3 weeks ago, maybe. They said they were going to submit, bring it in, a hard copy of the revised landscape plan. The big one we're waiting on, though, is the revised engineering. So we need that, and then we need some time to review it. But building has started their review, and so everything's kind of moving. But the big one is getting that. Their plans were maybe 60-70% done, and so we gave them comments back at the end of January. So we're just waiting on revised civil.
Okay, thank you for that. And across from Phoenix is a vacant lot. Is that what you're speaking of?
I just have one thing. If anybody has had any issues with the new email system, whether on your phone or logging in, I have the procedures that you need. So see me after the meeting, and I'll make copies for you. Okay? Anything else for good of the order?
Great.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Commissioner Lucky, second by Commissioner Von Trapp. All those in favor say aye.
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 Commission is adjourned at 7:56. Thank you all. Thank you all for